Although many secularists today deny America's Christian heritage, in the writings of the settlers and the founders of our country, we can often see that the Bible played a critical role in the creation of the nation. Author Stephen McDowell is the president and co-founder of the Providence Foundation, not to be confused with Providence Forum, which was founded by Dr. Peter Lilbeck, and I have the privilege to serve as executive director. And Stephen McDowell has written about America's Christian roots. He's also made films about it, and he now joins us to discuss the Bible and the USA's founding. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Focal Point. And Stephen, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure, Jerry. Good to be with you.
Sure. I appreciate that. And by the way, I've been enjoying, in a Sunday school class, I've been showing a lot of your videos with Kirk Cameron from many years ago. And it deals not only with the Bible and the founding of America, but how Christianity in general, basically gave us the freedoms we enjoy. We have the blueprint, for American freedom, and it gets back to the scriptures.
Yeah, exactly right, because without God and the Bible, there would be no United States of America, the land of the free as we know it today.
All right, I'll tell you what. You've just made an incredible statement. We wouldn't know the freedom we enjoy were it not for God and the Bible. Go ahead and let's just take several examples to just flesh that out.
Okay, our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, said that the Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. And this would have been universally agreed to by the early Americans and the founders of America, because they understood, one, that the people who settled America were people of the book. They were a product of the Bible. And when they came to the New World and started the 13 colonies, they carried the Bible with them. It was the motive to propagate the gospel to those that were lost. 12 of the 13 founding charters specifically mention that. So they came for the reason of propagating the truth of the Bible. And so when they started to build a new society, they looked, one, to the Bible as the source of their civil laws. And this is easier to show. You just read the early constitutions, compacts, and charters that founded America. Read the early laws that were written in Jamestown, 1609 to 1612. They were called Laws Morum, Martial, Divine, etc. The first 10 of those laws were basically the 10 commandments that they looked to as the source of their moral law, the laws of the pilgrims. Again, they looked to the scripture, and many of these laws quoted the Bible. Interesting, in the book of the general laws of the pilgrims, it says that laws are so far good and wholesome as by how much they are derived from and agreeable to the ancient platform of God's law. So they recognize that God's law, the Bible, found in the Bible, is the source of good civil law. So they wrote our laws based upon that. Third point of evidence is that education was rooted in the Bible. The reason colleges were started in America was to train ministers who were knowledgeable of the Bible, who could then impart that there to their congregation. The reason that schools were started was to be able to teach everyone to be able to read the Bible, because that's the source of truth. They understood if we want a free society, everybody has to have the character and worldview that the scripture speaks to us about. So that's why we started our college. That's why we started our schools early on. And so consequently, as you would expect, the textbooks that were used in these schools were thoroughly Christian.
And by the way, let me just interrupt you. When you're talking about these, you're not talking about the University of Them Thar Hills. You're talking about Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Princeton. This is really important to point out. I mean, it's the Bible that gave birth to those schools, not, Lucky Charms or whatever.
Yeah, exactly right. So it's interesting. Of course, at the time of our independence, there's about 12 or 13 colleges. All were started on the Christian faith. And by 1860, we had like 257 colleges. All but 17 of those were founded by or for the Christian faith. So not only the private schools, Harvard, Brown, Princeton, Rutgers, those were started by specific denominations. But then even later on, when we began to have more public schools, they still were thoroughly Christian as well. And so the textbooks were Christian. The Bible was the central text. Every place you went to study, of course, the universities were like seminaries, really. And to get in the universities, you had to know Greek and Latin. That's to get in, not to get out, so that you could read the Bible in its original language.
And Hebrew, too, then?
Many would learn Hebrew as well. It wasn't a requirement to get in the college, but they certainly would learn and study Hebrew so that they could read the Old Testament in its original language as well. So the Bible is the central text, but then you look at all the other prominent textbooks used in America. They were thoroughly Christian. In the 1600s, the Colonial Horn Book was a tool that we used to teach reading. That's just really a piece of paper that had on it the alphabet. Some of them had a pictorial alphabet on it, a few syllables, and then in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then the Lord's Prayer was the first reading lesson. But in 1690, the New England Primer was first produced. For the next 100 years, it was the predominant textbook, probably sold 5 million copies. All the founding fathers of America would have used the New England Primer. And it's thoroughly Christian. It taught the alphabet with biblical examples, a rhyming alphabet. A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, to heaven find the Bible mind. C, Christ crucified for sinners died, and on and on. Then in 1783, Noah Webster wrote his famous Blueback Speller. For the next century, it sold 100 million copies, which is phenomenal to me. But everybody had a Webster's Bible, Webster's Blueback Speller, and the Bible. And so when the West was settled, they carried these textbooks. And Webster's Blueback Speller was thoroughly Christian, the lessons that it imparted. He's also the one who wrote the first exhaustive English dictionary, published in 1828, and it's full of biblical definitions using thousands of scriptural references to give an example of how this word is used. Or you can look at McGuffey's Readers. He was a Presbyterian minister. His six-volume McGuffey Readers, thoroughly Christian. So all the major textbooks were biblical as well.
Since you mentioned McGuffey, I just want to point this out. A lot of people want to say, oh, Thomas Jefferson was a deist and he was very secular and all this kind of stuff. Hey, William McGuffey, his home, his platform there was at the University of Virginia, which was founded by Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson was very pleased with that school, and that was the home to William McGuffey, who produced all those readers. Jefferson, as Bill Federer and I discussed this one time, Jefferson did not want to create a secular university. He wanted to create a non-sectarian university. Big difference.
Yeah, exactly right. And McGuffey taught 25 years at UVA, and the students loved him. He would conduct chapel services often, which was required of all students to go to. So, you know, that's one of those state or non-secular or non-sectarian colleges that were still thoroughly Christian for first generations of existence. And then, you know, we're looking about the evidence of the Bible as the foundation or the rock of our republic, as Andrew Jackson said. But if you look at the words of the founding fathers themselves, over and over again, they acknowledge the centrality of the Bible. As Patrick Henry said, the Bible is worth all the books that were ever printed. The first Chief Justice John Jay said, the Bible is the best of all books, for it's the Word of God. It teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and to regulate your life by its precepts. You know, John Quincy Adams wrote a series of letters to his son. They were later published as a book, and they were all on the importance of the Bible. And in that, he talks about, hey, I make it a habit. I read through the Bible once a year. So every morning I'll read four or five. I'll take about an hour of time, read four or five chapters in the Bible. That was his kind of life habit, even while he was president, and he was communicating that to his son. This is what you need to do if you're going to, you know, be a useful citizen in this life. So we could quote the founders over and over and over, and you could see these people regarded the Bible as the inspired word of God and the source of truth and the source of not only how to build their own personal life, but how to build civil society. And that's why, by the way, they started many Bible societies. They recognized, okay, everybody needs to have access to the Bible, and there might be some who don't have enough money or for whatever reason. So they started literally scores of Bible societies. There were 35 Bible societies in 1816. The officers were founding fathers like John Marshall and many people like this. But in 1816, they came together to form the American Bible Society. The next year, 85 others joined with it. And since this time, the American Bible Society, I think, has distributed 1.5 billion Bibles or something around the world. But the first president of the American Bible Society was Elias Boudinot. Now, Elias Boudinot was one of the first presidents of the United States before the U.S. Constitution went into effect. He was president when we operated under the Articles of Confederation. But he said this once when he assumed the presidency of the American Bible Society. This was after his civil service. He said, "I'm not ashamed to confess that I accept the appointment of the president of the American Bible Society as the greatest honor that could have been conferred on me this side of the grave." So he reflects the great veneration that our founders had for the Bible and why they started these Bible societies to make sure everybody could read the Bible. And then another point of evidence that the Bible is the rock of our republic is it was the primary source of the founders' worldview. It's where they developed their political philosophy, their understanding of social and moral issues, as we've mentioned, the source of law and everything else. And this is been demonstrated by studies done. Dr. Lutz and Heinemann years ago did a study. I met Dr. Lutz back in the 80s. He was a political science professor at University of Houston. He was telling us about this newly released information that he had uncovered. But they studied 15,000 political documents from 1760 to 1805 because they wanted to find out, where did the founders get their political ideas? Our government was unique in history. There'd been nothing like it, a free land. But so where'd they get these ideas? Now, they were taught in their universities and when they're getting their doctorates that we're the product of the Greek and Roman thinkers or the atheistic Enlightenment thought. That's where they thought they came from. But after they went through all these documents, they wrote down every citation that the founders made for their political ideas, and the vast majority, more than any other source, directly came from the Bible. 34% of all their citations came directly from the Bible. And then the individuals that they were quoted the most, Montesquieu about 8%, Blackstone about 8%, Locke about 3% of their citations. These were all biblical men who got all their political ideas from the Bible as well. So probably about 50% more came from the Bible. So 84-85% of the source of their political ideas, not religious, came directly from the Bible. So that's just one study that affirms that to be the case.
By the way, I too was able to interview Dr. Lutz one time, and I'll never forget this soundbite he said. He said, all of the founding fathers, including just the handful of a few that didn't believe, you know, fully in God and so forth, all of them knew the Bible down to their fingertips. I'll never forget that quote. ProvidenceFoundation.com for more information. We have 10 seconds if you want to give a concluding thought on the Bible and the USA.
Well, it's only appropriate the Bible's on public display in the Library of Congress, a Gutenberg Bible, the most valuable book we own, because that is the source of the United States.
All right, Stephen Ann McDowell, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Great to be with you again, Jerry.
All right, you too. Bye-bye now.